Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, July 14th, 2025. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Trump stops salmon habitat research that would have bolstered tribes' agreement with the federal government with pathway to dam removal that Trump nixed. Federal government freezes $33 million in K-12 funding for Idaho, and police say Burley man murdered four in southern Idaho. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The federal education funding freeze has led to uncertainty about $33 million in federal money that Congress has allocated for Idaho schools. The payments to Idaho were due on July 1st, but the U.S. Department of Education held the payments, saying it was reviewing federal grant programs. State Superintendent of Public Instruction Debbie Critchfield says she has freed up $2.8 million to fill part of the funding gap. Critchfield released a statement which said, "We're hopeful we will know the timeline for distribution sooner rather than later, as decisions are being made now in local districts for the coming school year." The Idaho Education News reports the Education Department wrote in an email to Critchfield June 30th, the department, quote, remains committed to ensuring taxpayer resources are spent in accordance with the president's priorities and the department's statutory responsibilities. The nonprofit, the Learning Policy Institute of Washington, D.C., says the freeze will impact 16.5% of Idaho's federal education funding. Police in southern Idaho have arrested a Burley man on four counts of first-degree murder for the killing of four people at three locations Tuesday of last week. Police from seven law enforcement agencies used evidence from doorbell cameras to connect 56-year-old Benjamin Roy Naylor to the killing spree. The Idaho State Journal reports court records say at 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time Tuesday, police responded to a home in Rupert for, quote, an unattended death that occurred under suspicious circumstances. A probable cause affidavit said police found the woman dead in a bedroom with at least one gunshot wound to the head. Police reviewed the doorbell camera footage at the home and saw a man with a darker mustache and light beard wearing a black full-brimmed hat, a camouflage print jacket, a dark-colored T-shirt with a multicolored logo, black shorts, white socks, and light-colored tennis shoes come to the door and knock at 1:34 p.m. The affidavit says another video from that location in Rupert shows a man wearing a yellow glove on his left hand, and his right hand was holding a firearm tucked under his jacket on the left side of his body. The doorbell camera shows the same man leaving the house at 1:51 p.m. The affidavit says a Minidoka County Sheriff's deputy identified the man as Naylor. Police have not released the name of the deceased woman. At 6:21 p.m., Cassia County deputies responded to a report from a home in Burley that two people had been shot. The Idaho State Journal reports an online fundraiser from the surviving daughter of the victims identifies the victims as 66-year-old Kelly Jenks and 62-year-old Donna Jenks. The GoFundMe page says, "On July 8th, our community was shaken by the unimaginable. Kelly and Donna Jenks were tragically murdered in their home in Burley, Idaho. This devastating loss has left their family, friends, and neighbors reeling in grief and disbelief." Court records say police obtained video from the Jenks residence showing a man later identified as Naylor exiting a gold 2013 Toyota Tundra pickup parked across the street and entering the home. Police have also connected Naylor to the killing of a man found dead inside a 2010 Ford Expedition parked behind a closed cafe in Hayburn last week. Police have not released the name of the deceased in that case. Lincoln County Sheriff's deputies say They saw the gold Tundra near the intersection of South Greenwood Street and State Highway 24. The deputy said he followed the Tundra north on State Highway 75, and when additional officers arrived, the deputy initiated a traffic stop at milepost 90, where they arrested Naylor and booked him in the Minnecassee Jail in Burley. President Trump ended federal government work to update the 2020 environmental impact statement on the dams on the Snake and Columbia Rivers. Salmon advocates say the announcement in the Federal Register July 3rd was expected after Trump's decision in June to issue an executive order killing a major 10-year deal between Columbia River tribes and salmon advocates and the federal government, in which the tribes, including major players the Nez Perce tribe, would hold off on litigation over the dams in exchange for investments in salmon recovery and tribal renewal energy projects that would replace hydropower, irrigation, and barge transportation produced by the four lower Snake River dams if their removal were needed to recover salmon runs. The agreement included development of new information on the dams and salmon habitat, which is what Trump nixed July 3rd. Last year, the federal government released a report that found the lower Snake River dams in southeastern Washington caused substantial and ongoing harm to tribes' treaty fishing rights, and a 2022 study by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Fisheries found there's no way the Snake River salmon runs can be restored to healthy and harvestable levels without breaching the dams. The deal with the Biden administration, announced in December 2023, would have included $1 billion in federal investments over the 10-year pause in litigation. The Lewiston Tribune reported Trump's presidential memo ordered federal agencies to come up with an update to the 2020 environmental impact statement, quote, as appropriate, unquote, that takes into account any update to the National Environmental Policy Act procedures. The tribes, along with salmon advocates, have been in litigation over federal salmon plans for more than 30 years, during which time federal judges have overturned previous salmon recovery plans because they did little to protect endangered and threatened salmon runs. The Endangered Species Act listings classify 13 runs of wild Snake and Columbia River salmon and steelhead as threatened or endangered. The Hope Fire, 5 miles southwest of Northport, Washington, along the Columbia River, has grown to 6,526 acres as of last night. The fire, which is 15 miles north of Kettle Falls, is 8% contained. There are 657 people working on the fire in rugged terrain. Two homes have burned. Firefighters focused on improving fire lines on the western and eastern sides of the fire yesterday and also protecting homes to the north of the fire. There are mandatory evacuation orders in effect for the fire, which started Tuesday afternoon of last week. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Advocates are urging Washington state lawmakers to require cargo ships to plug in while in port. The Port of Seattle will require all cruise ships to use shore power by 2027, but cargo ships face no such requirement. One ship idling for 40 hours emits 30 tons of CO2 and sends 22 pounds of toxic soot into the air, harming port workers and adjacent neighborhoods. Teresa Bowie with nonprofit Pacific Environment says the sheer volume at regional ports requires action.
The Northwest Seaport Alliance saw visits from 1,700 cargo vessels in 2023. While the port is vital to the state economy, there is both a climate and a public health imperative to transition away from diesel and require these ships to plug in.
A 2023 study found diesel exhaust contributes more than 80% of the cancer risk from toxic air pollutants in the Seattle to Tacoma area. Legislation to require shore power was introduced in the State House in January, but did not make it out of committee. The legislation would apply to any terminal with more than 20 vessel visits per year. State lawmakers have committed over $50 million towards port electrification. With the third largest container ship complex on the West Coast, Bowie anticipates strong job creation.
The additional benefit of requiring ships to plug in is there's job growth potential. The tote terminal created 55 local jobs. child. IBEW supported this measure when it was introduced in the legislature.
A maritime administration estimate anticipated that 100% shore power at the Port of Seattle would create hundreds of jobs over 30 years. For Washington News Service, I'm Brett Pivato.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by
Latah Wildlife Association, encouraging hunters to use lead-free ammunition for the benefit of their families, predators, scavengers, and the environment. Available online at facebook.com/Latah Wildlife Association. For information on becoming a KRFP underwriter, go to krfp.org and click Support KRFP.
Five projects to support age-friendly communities have been selected to receive funding in Idaho. AARP's 9th Annual Community Challenge Grant Program is investing $76,000 in Idaho projects that must be developed quickly. Participants have until December 15th to complete them. Randy Simon with AARP Idaho says one of the projects is from Wyatt Marshall, a high school senior in a small town in southeast Idaho.
This turns out to be an intergenerational project where a high school senior wants to build a pickleball court in Income, Idaho. To be able to fund something like that is just great.
The other projects are a covered pavilion at a park in East Hope, a gazebo at a park in Melba, widening sidewalks in downtown Emmett, and audio and visual equipment upgrades for the Idaho Hispanic Community Center's building in Nampa. Simon says these funds are impactful for Idaho communities.
The amounts we give, essentially $15,000 a project this year, that goes a long ways in rural Idaho, and so that's meaningful.
The AARP Community Challenge Program is funding more than 380 projects this year through over $4 million in grants. For Northern Rockies News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
The Moscow City Council's Public Works Finance Committee this afternoon recommended the city accept a $584,000 Idaho Parks and Recreation grant for further development of Lola Clyde Park at 1040 South Polk Street Extension. The project includes frontage improvements, accessible paths and sidewalks, parking, lighting, and an internal pathway around the lower perimeter of the park property. The city is expected to provide a $584,000 match, including in-kind match for surveying, engineering, design, and construction inspection. City Grants Manager Elisa Anderson spoke about the plans for the park at Monday afternoon's Public Works Committee meeting.
So it's a 50% match, and the start date was actually 7-1. We have until 6/30/28 to complete it. And you'll see that the land water conservation federal share is in there and then the match. So we will be doing quite a bit of in-kind match for the surveying and design and reporting. And so we're tracking all those hours carefully. Construction inspection. So the different categories, as long as we stay within 10% on each category, we're good. On the match side, that really doesn't matter. We can put in more cash than in kind. But this is just looking at what they required us to submit and where our in-kind match will come from. And this is the second half of that budget. Some of these numbers are probably different now than when we actually submitted, but just to give you the concept of what the budget looked like. This is a slide that we had from when we did our presentation to the Land Water Conservation Board in Boise, and that was back in early 24. So a percentage of what the costs were at that time with the improvements on Rodeo being approximately 30,000, the path or 30%, and the path 23, Polk Street parking 49, and then parking lot improvements in addition to just the actual frontage and the lighting. I think we'll have 2 to 3 lights in there at this point. Cool. And then we had storm drainage and pathway in there. So that brought us to here today with our project in front of you. And I wanted to thank Bill for the nice press release that was put out on Thursday. Got a lot of good feedback on that. Saw some people at Farmers Market on Saturday that were hooting and tooting. And so I'm really excited. The first time that I think, I don't even know if David was here. I think Roger was here. Anyone, Blanchard, was the first time we actually submitted a grant on this for just the internal pathway through the Idaho Department of Parks and Rec.
That was Moscow Grants Manager Elisa Anderson speaking to the Moscow City Council's Public Works Finance Committee this afternoon. And that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, mostly clear skies through at least Friday, low 54 tonight, high 79 tomorrow, northwest winds 5 to 10, gusts up to 20, low 50 on Tuesday night, highs Wednesday 85 and 90 Thursday and Friday, lows 55 Wednesday night and Thursday night. Current temperature is 87 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho 83843, or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. Coming up at 6:30 is Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. And then at 7:30, music begins in earnest with Spotlight with Bex. Stay tuned for more. Chia Pets on 9 to 11 to play music for you. And at 11 o'clock, Nardwar, the human serviette, in his new time slot, Monday nights at 11. KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Extinction Rebellion Palouse proudly supports KRFP. XR Palouse is organizing to have our governments and institutions declare a climate emergency, achieve climate justice and biodiversity, and leverage the power of arts and humanities to foster social change. KRFP is dedicated to progressive values, including justice and multiculturalism.